Hello everyone, grab your Bibles, keep them open there, grab your outline, and that'll take you through tonight's passage, I hope. One afternoon, Kel, my wife, and I walked into my parents' place, my parents' lounge room, and what we could smell was the smell of paint in the lounge room, all over the place, but we couldn't see where any paint had been used. We looked around and eventually asked Mum and Dad what might have been painted. Mum said, "Can't you see?" And she pointed to the wall, which to us looked exactly the same colour as the previous colour that had been painted. We looked closer again, and as we got just at the right angle, when the sun was hitting it at 37.5 degrees, we could see that one half of the lounge room wall had been painted exactly the same colour, we reckon, as the colour it was previously. It was only when we looked at exactly the right angle that we could see the difference between the two. But for my parents, there was a huge difference. This is new paint. Fantastic colour. What a great choice. Off-white is off-white, if you ask me. The last 10 weeks, we've been having a look at our series on Galatians and the law, and we've seen a few very important things. We've seen, above other things, that the law of Moses is being finished with. It's found its goal. It's been fulfilled in Christ. It's been replaced by the law of Christ. And in some ways, it looks very similar. In some places, in fact, it looks exactly the same. But in fact, what we've got is no laughing matter. It's in fact a very significant difference. The difference between the old covenant and the new. The difference between old life and new life. The difference between life and death. And the difference, ultimately, between hope and despair. Tonight, in the final chapter of Galatians, I hope that we will see that this new covenant really is new. And that we must live in this new way. How? Well, in love for God and in love for one another. But before we do, we've all come from very different places today and throughout this week. How about we pray and ask God to prepare our hearts for his word. Lord God, we ask that today you might inspire us with your word. We ask that you might take away any distractions that might be amidst us tonight. You might help us to focus upon your word. You might help us to see what it's saying. You might help us to pull it apart, devour it, and that as a result we might not sit over it but indeed under it and allow you to speak. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the first thing you notice as you open Galatians chapter 6 in the first verses is that we are to love one another. We're to love the brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're to love them with great care. Now, a few of the things in these verses that we're to do are pretty obvious. And as it is, I'm going to skate over those and let you deal more in depth in your Bible study groups. But there are some things that are worth mentioning quickly as we go through. Verses 1 to 2 encourage us to bear one another's burdens. In other words, when we find a brother or sister, a Christian brother or sister, stuck in some form of sin, then we are to bear that burden. Help them out. Care for them. In other words, we ought to be aware of how our brothers and sisters are struggling in sin. And rather than condemn them and point the finger, we ought to seek to help them, to pull them out of sin, to seek to keep them accountable for their good. But do you notice, we're not just to care for them with some sort of blind naivety. After all, Paul makes it clear, we need to make sure that we are not sucked in as well to their particular sin. You see it all the time, don't you, when there's great floods overseas. All too often when a river breaks its banks and cars are washed down in a stream or people are washed down in the stream, invariably loved ones try to lean in and grab them and then they themselves are pulled into the rushing waters and taken downstream as well. We must be careful that as we help those in their sin, that we are not caught. Because if we are caught in the same sin, then we will be of no use to them at all. It certainly won't be loving to be involved in carrying their burdens? Well, we're to carry the burdens of the brothers and sisters, support them in their sin, and care for them. Not only that, as we carry the burdens of those who are caught in sin, verses 3 to 5 tell us that we should do so without hypocrisy. Because each person will be judged for what they do. In other words, before we go pointing the finger in boastfulness at others' sinfulness, we need to make sure we have it right first. To judge others without doing that would be boastful, it would be arrogant, unloving, and ungodly. After all, Paul says in verse 3, have a look at it. Verse 3, here is the essence of the gospel. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Here's the essence of the gospel. You are nothing. Forget self-help and self-esteem here. In comparison with the Lord God, you are nothing. The Lord is all. He is the one who gives salvation. He is the one who brings about good works in us. He is the one who brings about good behavior in us. He is the one who saves us and brings us from death to life. We are nothing. It does not come from us. It comes from the Spirit of God. Therefore, to boast about where we are personally makes no sense. Because we boast simply in our hypocrisy. And we only end up stuck in sin ourselves. We can go the other way on this one too, can't we? We can say that because we are nothing, that we should say nothing at all. I've heard many around the place say to others, gee, we missed you at Bible study during the week, or we missed you at church last week, only to be greeted with some of the greatest hostility because of the words that they've been given. You see, such a gentle response is often met with defensiveness from us. So often we respond to people's care for us, assuming that they must be judging us. But that would be to take that accountability and to treat that person as a hypocrite. But it may be that that person is able, rightly, to say to that other person, how have you been? We missed you. We'd love you to come back. There are times when we're able to judge others based on the things that we have, by the Spirit of God, been able to get right. In other words, we must allow one another to correct each other, provided that it's done with gentleness, without a boastfulness which assumes that we are somehow better than someone else. Paul goes on to show another way how we are to love others in the church. And in verse 6, he shows it clearly, namely, they're to look after their teachers. Paul says to the Christians in Galatia, share everything with your teachers in the faith. In particular, I think this means share with them the things that they need, the necessities that they need for life, food or shelter or whatever it might be, as they spend their time teaching the brothers and sisters. And again, the same is true today, isn't it? This is a difficult thing for me to talk about, just quietly. But it's true. We do ourselves actually no favours in one sense, because we actually in some ways depersonalise the sense of sharing with our leaders. Later on, the bags will go around and it may just feel like we're taking up a collection for nothing in particular. But in actual fact, what is happening is not a discussion of offertories or budgets and shortfalls or paying the bills and so forth. More than 80% of the money that will go into that bag will pay for the food of the teachers in this place. That is what you're doing as you share in that particular ministry. A ministry that Paul would describe as very spiritual. This is your appropriate spiritual activity, to share those things with the teachers. It's hard for me to say, don't get me wrong, but Paul is adamant. Share with those who teach us. Well, we're to bear the burdens of others. We're to do so without hypocrisy. And we're to show love by sharing with the teachers who also require us to carry their burden for us. And finally, in this particular section, Paul winds up this section based around the life of love. Paul says, don't give up doing good, especially to the people of God. I think so often we are focused on outreach and helping the outsider and evangelism and so on, and rightly so. Can I say we can't sit on our hands and do nothing when it comes to talking to others about Christ? But Paul is saying here that we ought to love and care and concern, first of all, with the household of God. In other words, we're especially to love the brothers and sisters in the church. Now look very carefully at verse 10. This is not an excuse to not be involved in the world. After all, verse 10 says, do good to all people, but especially to the people of faith. In other words, it will become very obvious if we care for one another that the gospel is being proclaimed amongst us. Indeed, our actions will become a light to the world if we love one another. Paul says, do not grow weary in doing good, but do good to all, and especially to God's people. Can you see the ways in which we love in this passage? We bear one another's burdens. We do so without hypocrisy. We care for the teachers amongst us, and we do not give up in doing good. These things are the things that will fulfill the law of Christ. This is how we keep the law of Christ, by loving one another, by caring for one another, by putting the other out in order that they might be lifted high. This is the way of love. This is the way of the law of Christ. And it should come as no surprise. After all, this is exactly the activity that Christ has shown to us. He poured out his own life that we might live forever and to the full. And so he encourages us to fulfill and live the law of Christ. This law of Christ, which comes with no condemnation. A law of the new way, not of the old way, which is where we turn our attention now in the final verses of this letter, verses 11 to 18. And as with any well-written letter, Paul uses these verses to summarize exactly what he's been saying throughout the whole Galatian letter. And the summary is, live in the days of the new, not in the days of the old. In other words, live in the new covenant, not in the old covenant. Not in the way of law and slavery, but in the way of freedom and the way of Christ. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to live in the new way? Well, Paul says a couple of things. First of all, the external is not the key. You remember, right throughout our series, we've heard about these Judaizing people who are trying to bring people back to the Judaizing ways. They were trying to get the Galatian Christians to be involved in all sorts of law-keeping activities, circumcision, food laws, all sorts of other things. And they were doing so, Paul says, to keep up appearances. But the outside appearance of a person tells us nothing about the way in which God works in their lives. Sure, the fruit of the Spirit is something evident that can be seen, but the real work of God is done by His Spirit and internally. And so to boast about the flesh is a useless exercise. Because as Christians, we are not a people of the law. We're not a people of rules and regulations and of condemnation. But you see there in verse 15, we are people of a new creation. Have a look at verse 14. Paul says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. See, here's the point that Paul's been making right the way along. If you are someone who has put their trust in Jesus, then your status has fundamentally changed. Your status as a person is no longer the same. You have been made a new creation. You have been transformed in the sight of God. And you are being transformed daily to be more like Christ. That's exactly why Paul says in verses 9 to 10, do not sow those things that are not of the Spirit. We cannot go and sow our life back as it was in the old way, because your status has changed. You are a new person. You cannot be condemned for your sin. The Lord has already forgiven you, even before you sin, at the cross. But as we've seen, right throughout this series, there remains a tension. A tension between freedom, a real freedom that brings us no condemnation, and the ability to do what we like. We've seen that the law of Christ is new in that it doesn't bring us condemnation, but it is the law that, in a sense, guides our behaviour. It guides our behaviour in ways which look very similar to the Old Testament law. Love God, love your neighbour. But it is fundamentally different and important to remember. As we read tonight in Deuteronomy, the Old Testament law was given for people to keep. It is a human response to God. And as a human response, it is bound to fail. After all our best efforts are like filthy rags compared to what God is like. Our human response is useless in keeping the law before God. But the New Testament law of Christ does not condemn us for not keeping it, because the holy and ethical living is not brought about by a person's choices and desires, but by the Spirit of God. This is a fundamental difference. Now, the way we live and our status before God, our sanctification, is not based on us doing a whole bunch of good works. But as we said a few weeks ago, the good works have been prepared in advance by God for us to do, by His Spirit. As we've said, this way of living in the New Testament might look very similar to the way of living in the Old Testament. For some, it may look like the painted wall. One half looks the same as the other half, and there's no tangible difference. But the difference in application of how we live our lives is amazingly different. For the message in Galatians is that nothing we have comes from ourselves. Neither salvation, nor the way we live our lives, nor the holiness of our lives. None of these things come from ourselves and our own efforts, but all of these things, the keeping of the law of Christ, is done by God Himself in us, by His Spirit. What's Galatians about? Galatians is about adding to the gospel, and how adding any human effort to the message of the gospel is simply futile. It reminds us again and again that salvation is from God from start to finish. That our lives are about God from start to finish. That the way we live ethically is about God from start to finish. Because we're nothing. It's only by His work in us, by His Spirit, that will bring us to repentance, that will bring us to faith, that will fire us up for the work of ministry, that will transform our lives as we live in line with the law of Christ. All of these things come from the Lord God. It is all of Him, and we must give thanks to Him for that. The only appropriate response we really have left, if He is the one that brings about all of these transformations and changes in our life, is prayer. We must pray. We must pray earnestly and depend upon Him, for dependence is the way in which we will be transformed from the inside out by the Spirit of God. So how about we finish by praying and relying ourselves and entrusting ourselves to God. Lord God, we thank You so much that as human beings, there is much in our lives that we fall far short of doing. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Spirit, that You send Your Spirit to be with us, that You transform us to be more like Yourself. Lord, we ask that we might live in reliance upon You, and that as we rely on You day by day, that You might transform us to be people that live lives of the new way, live lives based in love, care for one another, and a genuine concern for one another's well-being. Lord, we pray that under Your strength and through the power of Your Spirit, You might transform us here to do exactly that amidst one another. We pray that our good works may begin as we care and love for the people in this room. And Lord, we pray that it also would not stop there, that through this group of people we might reach out in good works, spreading Your gospel to this community, showing them the love that they really need. And Lord, we pray that we may not add to our salvation, but that we might remember that at start, beginning and end, it is all of You. We ask that we might trust You more and more with the knowledge and understanding we have from this great letter to the Galatians. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.